Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're not there, so we want to make sure we get the actual lay of the land from Steve Futterman of CBS News, who is there covering the games. And Steve, I'm so anxious to pick your brain. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes with us today.
Oh, yeah. Great to be with you, Amy. Anytime.
What does it feel like to you, someone who covers a ton of huge sporting events? How does this atmosphere compare?
Well, there's not much of a buzz. I mean, I did a story last night for CBS, basically on the street. I said, normally, the night before the opening ceremony in the host city, it's just, you know, it's just excitement reverberating everywhere. You see people on the streets, you see athletes, you see fans, you run into relatives of the athletes. It's just a giant carnival. Last night, people weren't on the streets, and the few that were there were wearing masks. It was a very boring night, at least the area I'm living in Tokyo right now.
As a member of the media, are you allowed to go anywhere you want? Because I know there are restrictions for the athletes.
Yeah, there are lots of restrictions. And by the way, I find them all at this point, I might change my mind, but all fairly reasonable right now. They initially said that their original idea was all the media covering here would have to undergo a 14-day quarantine.
Whoa.
Obviously, I mean, I can understand why they would want that. It didn't seem realistic. So they altered the rules. Basically, before you came, if you were obviously outside of Japan, you had to have two COVID tests. One of them within 72 hours of your departure, and they all both had to be negative, of course. And then when you got here, we went through another test, a saliva test at the airport. They want to know where you're going. You have to agree to be part of a modified bubble for 14 days. You basically have to tell them you're not going to go places you're not supposed to go. Basically, the main press center, the venues, those are pretty much where we're restricted to go. You are able to leave your hotel for around 15 minutes to go to the local convenience stores, which they have two or three on every block, it seems, either a 7-Eleven, a Lawson, or a Family Mart. They are very popular here. So I think they've been reasonable as much as they can. That's my feeling right now.
I just saw a photo that you posted from the stadium with the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
It looks empty, of course, but will you be allowed to be there for what is usually this marquee event?
Yeah, I'm here already. I'm here right now speaking to you from the stadium. So I'm here already. I was on the first bus, just wanted to get situated. So I'll be able to be here. They're allowing, I think, around 1,500 journalists to be here. And this is the journalists who are not rights holders. Obviously, NBC and Canada, CBC, they're allowed to bring their people here. But people who are not rights holders, around 1,500 are being allowed to be here. There will be members of the diplomatic corps, Jill Biden leading the U.S. delegation, the First Lady. She met, by the way, virtually with members of the U.S. team today, had a nice back and forth with Sue Bird, who is one of the flag bearers tonight. So, you know, it's going to be different. We know that. Will it look different on TV? I'm not sure. But they seem to think that it's going to work, and we'll find out right now. By the way, I'm looking at the Japanese flag being hoisted on one of the flagpoles right now. They rehearse everything, as you know.
Mm. So then there will be some people in the stands, which is good, just not that same crazy roar whenever the athletes walk out of the tunnel and into the stadium.
Right. I mean, listen, I think this place holds, I'm guessing, I knew it at one time, maybe 80,000. So maybe there'll be 5,000. It's going to be basically empty. I mean, the percentage of I wasn't really good in math, but it's a very small percentage of the seats that are going to be filled. And by the way, we will not have the usual large contingent of athletes. Only a fraction of the athletes who are entered to compete here will be in the Parade of Nations, the Parade of Athletes. I can only give you, I don't know if the U.S. has released its figures, but the Canadian Organizing Committee, I spoke with them earlier. I think the Canadians have around a delegation of athletes of over 300. Only 30 to 40 will be in the Parade of Athletes.
Steve Futterman of CBS News is in Tokyo getting set for the opening ceremony. So right now, joining us from the stadium where it won't be full, but it will still be those ceremonies that we always look forward to start the summer and the winter games. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Have you sensed in talking to athletes or talking to what members of delegations that there's an extra tension and anxiety? Because I feel like when I've talked to coaches and some athletes that there is that level that they don't typically deal with.
You know, yes, I'm going to give you a 9/11 analogy. I remember speaking to a gentleman in New York, maybe a week after 9/11. I asked him when he crossed the bridge to go into the city, did he think about it? He said, always, every day he crosses the bridge, he's wondering whether something's going to happen. I think the athletes in the back of their minds, yeah, they're wondering. I think they have some sense of security, but nothing's guaranteed, and we've seen some athletes who have been telling us they've been vaccinated test positive. So, and we know there are, whether you agree with the vaccine or not, I happen to think it's a good idea to get the vaccine. That's my opinion. But whether you agree it's a good thing to get or not, we do know that some people who get the vaccine will come down with COVID, just like if you get the flu shot, some people get the flu. So no one's immune completely from getting COVID, even if you're taking all the precautions that you might normally take.
Mm. I've heard, just to transition, because of course we could talk about that part of it forever, but I've heard that the heat is also something that's different for some of these athletes, not just the heat, but the humidity, the thickness of air. What does it feel like to you?
Well, I've been here before. It can be worse. So I'm counting my blessings. It's not pleasant. It's very humid. I didn't check the temperature today, but it's been in the humidity is the issue. It's not the heat.
Right.
So I'm guessing it's around 80% sometimes. It can be miserable. But like I said, I've been here before. It can be much worse. I should point out at the track, this is also the track stadium, as most Olympic opening ceremony stadiums become track stadiums as well, and that's the case here in Tokyo. So this will serve as the track stadium. I will say this, that if you're not necessarily the athletes, but if you're the member of the media, we have, it's like an overhang like that many stadiums have. So we're protected from being hit directly from the sun. And right now, looking at the field, half of the field is covered by a shadow.
Interesting. How many Olympic Games have you covered, Steve?
This is number 15. The first one I went to was in my hometown of L.A., so I've been to every Summer Olympics since 84 in Los Angeles, and then my Winter Olympic experience began in Salt Lake City in 2002, so I've been to those since then. And for a while, I thought that this was not going to happen. Obviously, many organizations were rethinking.
Right.
Do you send people? How many people do you send? Is it wise? So at the end, we decided that it was worth it, and I'm glad CBS sent me.
Absolutely. That's on my bucket list, Steve. So a little bit envious of your experience. What are a couple of the Olympics that will stand out for you, the great experiences that you really enjoyed?
Well, I mean, the first Olympics is always, I think, probably the most special. It was also in my hometown. I had loved the Olympics since a child, so that was my favorite one in many ways. The moment I still love from that one is when Rafer Johnson, looking like a Greek god, lit the torch at the Coliseum in the peristyle end. I love that moment at the L.A. Olympics. Carrie Strug, I saw her. I was at the gymnastics event when she landed from the vault on that one leg. She had injured her ankle and stood tall. I guess she's 5'2". You can stand tall if you're 5'2". She didn't fall. That was the main thing. And the U.S. women won that gold medal. That's great. I've seen every Michael Phelps gold medal. and maybe the greatest event I ever saw in the Olympics was when Phelps was going for the 8 gold medals. And, you know, listen, when you set yourself up, if you win 7 out of 8, you're a failure. I mean, you didn't succeed in doing what you wanted to do. I'm being sarcastic when I say you're a failure if you only win 7 of 8 events. But he wanted to win the 8. That race, the 100-meter breaststroke, I was working for Westwood One. I actually called that race, and my goodness, you know, I don't do that much play-by-play. It is pretty tense. You have to be careful you don't make a mistake. And he won by 1/100th of a second. He nailed it, and I won't say I nailed it, but I didn't make a mistake. I had him winning, and he won. That, to me, is one of the most amazing events because he kept his dream alive. And then, of course, he did win the 8 gold medals. One of the greatest moments, really, in Olympic history.
So you saw all 23 of his gold medal races?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is quite a claim to fame there, Steve. I'm impressed.
And we thought we were done with Phelps in London. He had to come back in Rio, but I saw the ones in Rio as well.
Wow. Okay, so then what are some of the events that you plan to cover while you're in Tokyo, other than the opening ceremonies?
Well, I want to go to the 100-meter. I love the 100-meter race. I saw all of Bolt's gold medals, too.
Wow.
All, I guess now it's not nine, it's eight, because they were disqualified in one of the races. One of the relay team members tested positive, so it's eight. So I saw him win. Just an amazing athlete. So I love the 100 meters. That's if you have to say one event you go to, that's the one I want to go to. By the way, they're not always good races. They're over very quickly. Don't blink your eyes. But it's such a classic event. You know, I mean, whoever wins that race is considered the world's fastest human.
Yes.
And whoever wins the decathlon is considered the world's greatest athletes, because when Jim Thorpe won the gold medal in, I think, 1912, the king said, "Sir, you are the world's greatest athlete." And that tag has stuck with every decathlon winner since.
Oh, Steve Futterman, we would love to have you on again over the course of these games. For now, I hope that you enjoy these opening ceremonies. You can find Steve on Twitter at S. Futterman. And I've been listening to him since long before I was in the business. For CBS News, as a news junkie, he's one of the voices that I will always recognize when I hear you on the radio. Steve, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Amy, you know I love being on your show anytime.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.